Before we begin today's Tanya for the 28th of Nisan, Chof Ches Nisan, we'll review for a moment what the Alter Rebbe said in the previous Peder concerning the two levels of Yira and the two levels of Ahava. In the two levels of Yira, of fear, the Alter Rebbe says that there is the level called Yira Tato and Yira Chetzenis, and then there is the higher level Yira Ilah and Yira Pnimis. The difference between them is that the Yira Tato comes from a consideration, from a contemplation of an external aspect of God, and that is God's creative ability, God the Creator. When one looks at the magnitude of the world, how immense the world is, and realizes that all of this is created by God, and God is the pnimi of all of this, is behind all of this, then he is overcome with a fear of God. But this is called the Yira Chetzenis because it is an aspect of God that is not his essence. It is rather God as he is clothed and involved in an activity in creation. It is also called Yira Tata. It's called the lower level fear because it comes from being overwhelmed and impressed with creation. Because he sees the world's creation as being immense, impressive, and beyond that there is its creator, so the creator is even more impressive than the world, so the fear is based on his awe of creation. The higher level fear is also called Yira Pnimis, and this fear is not a result of appreciation of God's creative ability and the magnitude of the world, but rather it is a feeling of yare beishes. It's a feeling of shame. And the shame comes from the fact that he feels completely insignificant in the presence of God. To make it more understandable, we can compare the lower level fear to the fear of a king, whereas the higher level fear is more like the fear of a tzaddik, of a chacham. When a person is afraid of a king, it's not that he's afraid of the king's abilities or the king's personal virtue or personal worth, inner worth. He's afraid of the king because the king functions like a king. He has power over so many people, over so many kingdoms. He can control and determine life and death for the people of his kingdom. So this power that he has is based on the size and the strength of his country, of his people, of his army. So the people of the country, as much as they are afraid of him, are not completely wiped out. They're not completely eliminated in this feeling. They feel themselves to some degree because the king is a king only because they exist. A king without subjects, a king without followers, is not a king. And the more followers he has, the more subjects he has, the greater is his kingdom. Makes him a greater king. So even as they are afraid and they fear the king, but their existence is also of some significance because without them, the king is not a king. And that's called the lower level fear because the world doesn't lose its existence completely in this fear, since the fear itself is based on the fact that God can create such magnificent and immense universes. However, when a person is afraid of a tzaddik, what he's reacting to is the inner person, the inner being, which is the tzaddik, and here he has no place at all. The observer does not contribute to the greatness of the tzaddik in any way at all, and therefore he finds no significance in himself while he's in the presence of the tzaddik. So the fear is much more of a bittul; it wipes him out completely. He has no existence at all, and so it's called a higher level fear because it doesn't come from contemplating the greatness of creation. It doesn't come from contemplating his own greatness and then being overwhelmed by how God can affect him in spite of how great he is. And that's why it's called a higher level. It's independent. It is not connected to the lower worlds, to creation. It is also called Yirah Pnimis because it's a response to God himself, not to God the Creator. In practical terms, a person can be overwhelmed by a Rebbe, by a Tzaddik, because of the effect that the Tzaddik has on him. A person who considers himself a strong person, an intelligent person, a courageous person, sees a Tzaddik or comes to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe's greatness overshadows his greatness, the person's greatness. The Rebbe's wisdom is much greater than his wisdom, and so he is impressed with the Rebbe because the Rebbe is even greater than his greatness. That's not a complete bittul because he's measuring the Rebbe's greatness against his own. And although he's coming to the conclusion that the Rebbe is overwhelmingly impressive, and so it humbles him, but it doesn't make him completely bottle, because the humility comes from an appreciation of his own greatness, which is overshadowed by the Rebbe's greatness. He's even smarter than me. He's even stronger than me. So that's called an external appreciation. He appreciates the relative effect that the Rebbe has on him. Whereas the person who appreciates a Rebbe for what the Rebbe is, that bittul is a much deeper one and a more total bittul. Now the same is true with love. There's the higher level love and the lower level love. The higher level is called Ava Rabba, and the lower level is called Avas Olam. The lower level love comes from consideration of the world. Only in this case, he's thinking not that the world is so immense and great, but that the world is so pleasurable and worthy, and then considers that God is more pleasurable, more worthy, so instead of feeling fear, he feels love. Only it, too, is a love based on a recognition of what is lovable and pleasurable in the world. So he's not completely divorced from the lower condition. Whereas the higher level love, that comes from above, it's completely separate and completely independent of worldly pleasure, and so it is called the higher level love, Ahava Rabba. Now for today's Tanya Perek, the beginning of Perek Mem Dalid, chapter 44, it's on page 650. Vehine kol madregas ahava mibeis madregas elu. Now each of these levels of love, ahava rabba ve'ahava seilom, nechlekes lekamo b'chines u'madregas le'en ketz. Each one of these levels can be subdivided into endless degrees and levels. Kol chad l'fum shiur adelei. Each person according to his capacity. Kameshikosu b'zeir HaKodesh, it says in the Zeir al-Posuk, Neida b'sharim b'aylo, which the simple meaning is that her husband is known in the gates. This is the woman of valor, the Eishes Chayil. Her husband is known in the gates. But in the Zeir he explains it, that's do kuchabrichu. The husband is a reference to God. The Ihu is Yada, and he is known in the gates. The Zayat explains, he is known, the Izdabek Lechochad Lefum Himaz de Meshayer Belibet. He makes himself known, and he attaches himself to each person according to each person's measure. So She'odim can mean gates, it can also mean estimation or measure. According to the measure or the estimation that each person makes of himself, that's how much godliness he becomes capable of perceiving. And that's why love and fear of God are called Hanistazes Lashem Elikeinu. They are called the secret matters which are known only to God. Torah and mitzvahs, the performance of Torah and mitzvahs, Hein Hanigris Lanu Luvaneinu Lases. They are called the revealed matters that are for us and our children to do. Why is love and fear considered a concealed and secret matter, and the performance of Torah and mitzvahs a revealed and practical matter? Because when it comes to Torah, all Jews are equal. There is one Torah, and there is one set of laws for all people. In the performance of the mitzvahs, all people are the same. Every Jew puts on the same kind of tefillin and keeps the same laws of Shabbos and so on. Whereas when it comes to love and fear of God, that depends on the knowledge of God in the mind and in the heart, canal, as explained earlier, and this is a hidden matter, it's a secret matter, it's an intangible, and is not equal for all people. But there is one love, a unique kind of love, that combines both the Ahava Rabba and the Ahava Seilom, and this love exists equally in all Jews because it's an inheritance. We inherit it from our ancestors. This is what it mentions, what it says in the Zohar, on the pasuk that says, "My soul, I desire you in the night." A person is talking to his soul, and he says, "Nafshi, my soul, ivisicha by laila, I desire you." What does it mean to desire one's own soul? So the Zohar explains, "The yarchim lekucha b'richu dechemusa denafsha v'rucha." He loves God with the love of the heart and soul and spirit. And kemod is dapko ilim begufa v'gufa rachim lein. Just as the body lives off the soul gives life to the body, and the body loves its soul, wants its soul. V'zeh shekosuv nafshi ivisicho, and this is the meaning of the words, Nafshi, my soul, I thirst you, klema. It means as follows. Mipnei sha'ata Hashem nafshi v'chayi v'amitim. Because you, God, are my true life, my true soul. L'kachi v'sicha, that's why I desire you. So the desire is for God. Only the kind of a desire, what kind of a love is this? We love God because God is our true life. Because God is really our soul. And the Zohar goes on to explain, I desire and long for you, just as a person desires his soul, his life. And when he is weak or exhausted, then he desires and he longs for his soul to come back to be revived within him. Also, when a person goes to sleep, he desires and he wants that his soul should come back to him when he wakes up from the sleep. In the same way, I desire God and long for God, who is the true life, the life of life. I want to embody that life. I want it to be drawn in within me through the involvement, the study of Torah, when I wake up from my sleep at night. And that's the meaning of nafshi v'sicha balayla. That because I recognize that God is my true soul, therefore I desire God balayla, like a person who longs for his soul at night and wants it back in the morning. And how do we bring back the neshama? also by waking up at night in order to study Torah. The Raisa v'kutcha b'richa kol echad, because Torah and God are all one. Are one. So we find this kind of love, a love called nafshi v'sicha, a love of God out of recognition that God is our life. K'ma shekosav azei Hashem, the boy barnash merechimusa the kutcha b'richa lemeikam b'kol laylo l'ishtadlo b'pulchino atzafa, that out of love for God, one should wake up at night and study Torah until the morning. In the Hayyim Yom, for the 28th of Nisan, the Rebbe writes that Achsidim sho'alu es adma hazokim. Achsidim asked the Alter Rebbe, Eze aveda nailus yesed, which is a higher aveda, avas Hashem or avas Yisrael? Which is greater, a love of God or a love of fellow Jew? Vayan, and the Alter Rebbe answered, Avas Hashem v'avas Yisrael shtehen ke'achas chakukais b'nishmosei ruchei v'nafshei shel kol echad mi'Yisrael. Both loves, the love of God and the love of Jews, are ingrained in the soul and in the ruach and in the nefesh of every Jew. U'mikra moli dibra kosuv. But the pasuk says explicitly, "Ahavti eschem, Omer Hashem." God says, "I love you. I love the Jew." Hazei, knowing that God loves the Jew, we come to the following conclusion: "Digdeila avas Yisrael," that love of Jews is greater, because oyev masheh ohuv oyev. When one loves another person, it's a common love. When the love is a greater love, then he loves not only the other person, but anyone who the other person loves. In other words, he loves those who are beloved to his beloved. So that, for example, if you love somebody completely, then you automatically also love his children, because he loves them. Knowing that God loves a Jew, in loving a Jew, you are loving God more than if you love God alone. So in Avas Yisrael, you have both a greater love for God and a love for Jews. Whereas in Avas Hashem, it could be that it's not as great a love, and that it doesn't include Avas Yisrael.